The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Throwhill, could you please tell everyone on Profile This is play?
Oh, I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth. Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Guess who it is, Ted?
James.
James, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola. All right, James, you understand how this year's game was played, yes?
Yes.
Fantastic. You have your choice of one of three categories today. Today we offer you bite me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? Animalize this, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem. And finally today, seriously, where you guess the petty conflict that led to violence.
Oh, let's go with bite me. Just eat
it, get yourself an egg and beat it. All right, James. An Ocean County man was found something unfortunate embedded inside of his Jersey Mike's cheesesteak sub that he ordered through Grubhub. Fernando Rodriguez, he claims that he ordered the sub for delivery to his Bayville home from a Jersey Mike's in Lacey Township in April of last year. When the sandwich arrived, it was wrapped in paper and sealed with scotch tape, but he discovered the object embedded within the sandwich. So he drove to the Jersey Mike's store to complain. Then he called police to document the incident. Now, Rodriguez told officers the sub was delivered to the front steps of his home by a woman with blonde hair. An officer called the driver, who stated that she was embarrassed and the object in question was, in fact, hers.
Oh.
Now, the driver told police that she opened Rodriguez's sandwich to make sure it contained the correct food item. The suit alleges negligence, claiming Jersey Mike's failed to properly package and safeguard the sandwich before it was delivered. The complaint also alleges Grubhub failed to properly train, blah, 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 all that good stuff. In the meantime, what did he find in the sandwich? Was it a Band-Aid? Was it a human tooth? Was it dentures, or was it a fake fingernail? So Band-Aid, human tooth, dentures, or a fake fingernail?
Let's see. From a female. So nail's definitely up there. Ted, what are you thinking?
Where was it at? Jersey? Or no, it was Jersey Mike.
Jersey Mike. I believe Pennsylvania, because everything's a township.
All right. And that could be a lot of stuff. And you didn't say how old, just she was blonde.
Just see what that's all I know.
I'm pretty sure it's Jersey.
Is it Jersey?
I think so.
Oh, Jersey and Jersey Mike's. Yeah. Ocean. Yeah, gotcha. That makes sense.
You know what? I don't know. I have nothing to base this on. I'm going to say a tooth.
A toothus.
Yeah, it just fell out of her mouth.
Mouth?
I'm 99% sure that's Jersey, so I'm going fake fingernail.
Yeah, I'm going fingernail all the way.
Okay. What do you find there in a sandu? Band-Aid, tooth, dentures, or a fake fingernail? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Category is a bite me on profile. Let's get a man that found something in his Jersey Mike sub. Actually, it was not in the sub from the sub shop. The woman who delivered it admitted that was whatever he found in that sub was hers, because she opened up the sandwich to make sure that it was the right thing. So either way, it was part of her, or whatever. So was it a Band-Aid, a tooth, depends on what it is, dentures, or a fake fingernail?
And James, that is a question that we posed to you. Let us start with D. Ted Smith. Well, you even said, I have nothing to base it on, you just went tooth, swung for the fences.
Yeah.
This one ended up being a strike. Now, James, you agree about Miles Montgomery. Look, it is New Jersey. They have their reputation. Both of you agreed. Probably the old fake fingernail. No.
Oh, really?
And a very disturbing twist, it was her dentures.
No way.
How did she not notice her dentures fall out?
I don't know how you don't notice your dentures fall out, but the fact that he went to Jersey Mike's and they called the driver, and she admitted, I wonder if she ran her tongue over her gums, like, oh, damn it, that's not mine. Yeah. She said she opened a bag to make sure the food was right. I don't know how it got into the, well, within the wrapping of the sandwich, but her dentures.
Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty gross, man.
Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah. All right, Mike, you always do it to me. Do you know what tomorrow is?
Ooh. Tomorrow is chocolate covered gummy bear day.
SpongeBob Day.
Oh, of course.
Of course it is.
July 14th is SpongeBob Day. According to Nickelodeon, which plans to turn the date into an annual birthday celebration.
True.
All right.
This year's
it's a marathon, I guess.
Yeah, they include a TikTok Live hosted by SpongeBob voice actor Tom Kenny. And the launch of the official Patrick Star YouTube channel.
Oh, geez.
There's also, and Miles, you're right, there's going to be all-day marathons on Nicktoons and Nick Pluto, fan-favorite episodes on Nickelodeon, and then Patrick Star himself, the character, he's dropping an album called Patrick Star Superstar.
Oh, boy. It's a big day.
You can start pre-ordering it tomorrow. The first single dropping on the 9th, it's called Watch Out for That Rake.
Damn.
SpongeBob SquarePants, for the record, debuted on July 17th, 1999.
Quick side note, I just looked up Tom Kenny. So he's 64 years old. Believe it or not, his birthday is today.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, July 13th, 1962 is when he was born. So they're doing this a day after his birthday.
Yes.
Basically.
And they're saying it's SpongeBob Day, but it's not the day it started.
Right.
Why did they pick this day? I was going to ask.
I don't
just
have
assumed.
That info.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a hole in the dumb day categories.
My You're God, right. We must fill in a stupid holiday.
SpongeBob really is Nickelodeon's Mickey Mouse, isn't he?
At this point, yeah.
Like, he's just on everything. He's doing everything. Like, he's doing football now. Now we've got albums that are coming out. And look, I loved the show when I was a kid. I never expected it to get this big. And quite honestly, I don't like that it's gotten this big.
I think the SpongeBob advantage, though,
SpongeBob advantage.
Like, right, it's for kids, but it doesn't suck. Like, a lot of kids shows suck.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I could still sit there right now and watch a SpongeBob. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not pumped, but I'm like, you know, I'm with somebody's kids. Like, all right, fine, we'll watch SpongeBob. As opposed to
TV for kids that doesn't suck.
Yeah. So I think maybe that's part of why it's had such longevity. You know
the
I mean?
Older episodes. You know, my wife who hates cartoons, I showed her the first episode of SpongeBob. She laughed her ass off.
Oh, yeah?
So, but yeah. Anymore, if I turn it on and it's, you know, one of the newer episodes that's out, it's like, this is garbage.
Sure.
This sucks.
But also you age out of it.
You do. And I'll admit that. I'll fully admit that.
But. I mean, Bluey's are shorter.
Yep.
So an episode of Bluey's pretty easy to get through as well. But I don't know.
Never had to watch Bluey.
SpongeBob show.
Bluey's not bad.
Really?
Yeah, again, like, I've only watched it when other people are like, we got to put this on. But, like, I'm not going to sit at home and watch it. But, like, I don't know. They're, like, 17 minutes. And, like, there's a couple episodes that are pretty good.
And there's a sect of adults that really, really enjoy Bluey. Like,
really?
It's one of those where they made the show where, you know, it's an educational show of sorts where it's kind of, you know, relating to the kids at that point in their life and what they're going through, the lessons that they're learning. But
sure.
It's also kind of also throwing a little star to the parents that are forced to watch it. They're like, yeah, we know what you guys are going through too here.
Okay.
It's okay. You're doing your best.
Yeah, I lived through it. It was Peppa Pig, Little Einsteins, Paw Patrol, which just, my God, that show made me homicidal. And there was one even worse, Bubble Guppies. Jesus.
Bubble Guppies.
Oh, my God, man. I mean,
sounds like what I get when I eat too much greasy food.
I got the Bubble Guppy. That show was so inane and stupid. Like, they're all kind of dumb. I get it. They're for kids. They're not for me. But, like, Bubble Guppies, I'm like, man, now you're insulting my kids' intelligence. This show sucks.
Yes, I mean, you're right, Mike. SpongeBob is, like, Nickelodeon's biggest show, I would think. And there's been a ton of them, but he just exists out there. And like you're saying, like, even adults can watch it, and you're like, all right. So I think that's why he's so much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, gets his own day now.
All right. Not shocked. It was time.
Real quick, I wanted to give a little love over the break on July 3rd. I went up to Angels of the Wind, Arena in Everett.
You going to tell the whole story?
Watch the Washington Wolfpack. Shout out to all the Wolfpack fans. We went to their tailgate. Thanks to everybody that had us over. Also, shout out to Apollo.
The mascot. All right, so you did get to meet him.
I got to meet Apollo. Yep, it was pretty fun. Did he talk to you? He's got a buff. No, he didn't break code.
Okay.
There's only one local mascot that talks to me, and I won't say who he is. I don't want him to get him in trouble.
All right.
But arena football is obviously different. It was pretty fun. But, like, they had a whole little tailgate. My buddy's daughter was with us and, like, a bounce house and face painting. So a couple things about arena football that threw me off. Again, we were sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
I just thought those pads were a little more secure. But you got to kind of help them and keep pulling the pads back.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then the guy that holds the down marker, right?
I'm putting my shirt on.
The lineman, right? Like,
He had to jump over the wall and, like, stand next to you because there's not enough room for him on the field. So at one point, he just looks at me. He's like, dude, can you hold this? I got to get over the wall. And, like, as the play's starting, I'm holding it. And I'm like, all right.
It's kind of weird, but
yeah,
sure.
I like this.
Had to put in a shift over there. Because there's no sidelines in arena football, right? Like, no, it literally just a wall. Enough. No.
Correct. And it's weird. So I'm pretty sure you can bounce off the wall and keep going. But it's like you got to tackle the dude or you got to, like, tackle him over the, like, nice. It's a little confusing. So then they have those nets at the end, right? So on kickoffs, if you kick it through the little tiny uprights,
right,
touchdown. But if it bounces off the net,
the
guy can return them. So at halftime, they're like, Ted, come down to, like, one of the suites behind the end zone. Like, sweet. So we're sitting down there, and I've had a couple beverages. also, if you live in Seattle, take the light rail up to Linwood, figure out the rest of the way.
All right.
So I just said to the guy, I'm like, hey, $300 if you run this back. And he's like, all right. Like, right. He's like, all right, bet. Puts out his hand, dap him up. There's another stoppage in action.
Did he pay you?
I'm as close to him as Mike is. And I just go, hey, $300. And he turns around. I'm like, all cash, $520, all yours. Run it back. So he receives his touchdown. And you know me, I'm going to give him the money if he gets it. And I mean, he should have gone down. He tried to cut back and forth like 3 or 4 times. Mike, and he fumbled.
Damn right.
Because he wanted that $100.
He wanted that $100. My buddy looks at me and goes, I think you caused that fumble. I mean, unfortunately,
you did.
The Wolfpack was already right. Was already losing, so it didn't matter. It was the fourth quarter, but I don't know. It's pretty fun. And like, I saw a couple other people chirp some of those guys, and they could hear you, and they are very close. So just be careful. Like, I was having fun with number three, and it made the night. But, like, I'm just saying, be careful out there.
Yeah.
You're still athletes.
Be careful out there.
And you're not.
Yeah. Right, he's still, like, look, I mean, they're not NFL guys, right?
They still whip your
but
ass.
They definitely played high-level college. They're still top-level athletes. Like, yeah, they don't mind.
Number three has jumped over the barricade, and he's beating the crap out of a fan. Right.
Took $100 from him.
What was the, they still, like, make this score, like, 58 to 35, is it still?
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
Like, I went to get a beer and a hot dog, and I came back, and somehow, like, it was like the other team had scored, like, 20-some points. I was like, Jesus. So it happens pretty quick. But, you know, on the same token, you know, the Wolfpack returned a touchdown, or ran one back a long distance, and you're just like, you could go online and watch it. I forget what channel it was on. Like, you could see us, like, standing up, like, touchdown. Plus, all the World Cup stuff. It's kind of nice to get a little football in.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of World Cup, obviously, since we've been gone, the United States lost to Belgium. And saying they lost to Belgium is putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Belgium just kicked the crap out of us.
They didn't lose to us. They took a beating. It should have been illegal at some point.
Yeah. It was bad.
It was real bad.
And we got outclassed. So I think a couple things, like, I know some people, my friends and family have called me, like, what's your take on it? Because they're not soccer people.
Sure.
And it's like, well, look, we are what we kind of are, right? Somebody else smarter than me just said, look, we are a top 16 team, but like...
And that's where we are.
That's where we are, right? Like, maybe we're just not a top 8 team.
We're not.
Right? Also, the United States, like, I do think there is positive change in our soccer program, but we are at the same point that we get to where we don't advance.
That's it.
So I'm not going to give up on our soccer program. I still think it's ridiculous that we charge all these kids and families all this money. And I think that severely hurts us in developing more kids from poorer neighborhoods or different neighborhoods to play more soccer.
Well, once you say your kid says, I want to play soccer, like, you can cruise along for a little bit. But you're right, it instantly gets very, very expensive, right? And people start dropping out because of that. Not just the cost, but it depends on your kid's performance, right? So if your kid just wants to play for fun, but they're not necessarily getting any better, as a parent, you're trying to justify why I've spent this much money.
Correct.
But it's hard to just find, like, a normal rec league where it does not cost me a fortune. My kid doesn't have to be great. It's not that. But if a kid's not getting better or they're just not good at soccer, but they still like to play, is it worth spending the money?
Well, the other issue, I think, too, is that, you know, and I get it, right? This is the system they've kind of built in the States. So then you have all these coaches. And look, I have a few buddies that do this. But, like, they're not dead set on developing players. Like, part of their continuing to coach those programs is they need to win.
Yeah.
So you're going to get kids that get left behind because they're not learning more, right? And
correct.
I mean, I think when it comes to school sports, especially like CYO or Little League, like, winning's fun, but you're trying to teach kids how to be better at these sports, right? So, I mean, it's just hard, right? Some kids get lost in the shuffle. So I'm not going to – look, was I annoyed? Sure. I will always say I'll take just getting my ass beat than, like, losing – 1-0 in the 90th minute.
Yeah,
but like
absolutely.
we looked bad. I mean, frankly, we looked scared. Belgium was especially pissed off and excited because we had our guy was back. Yeah. So I'm just like,
also the opportunity to have collegiate sports, and you know, a lot of parents just, hey, you're going to get your education paid for. You know, we would prefer you go play in North Carolina or whatever.
Sure.
Most of the kids in other countries, when they're 18, man, they're playing against the best their country has to offer.
Yeah.
So,
well, and that's the thing too. When you go over to like Europe tiers. And stuff, these kids that are really good, they're put, you know, by like, you know, by teenagers, they're already working in these academies, right?
And they get recruited to coaches, the academy.
Right, and those coaches have stayed there forever. Like, I heard Landon Donovan talking about, he's like, when I got to one place, he's like, the guy that coached, like, the C team was in his 60s. He's just there to make you better and understand the system.
Right.
He's not there to win anything. So, I mean, that's the story. But other than that, I missed the group stage. It was so nice having all that soccer on. There's been some good matches. I know Norway was on this weekend. People were pumped. England looks good. It's basically the top four teams in the world.
Yep.
Are there in the final or in the semifinal. So
what is it? France, Spain, England, and
Argentina.
Right.
Yeah.
The reigning champs. So it all makes sense.
Yep. Yeah. One other thing I wanted to mention was on July 4th, a lot of people went to a baseball game. I did not go. So I was sitting at home, got some Dungies. I was picking crabs on July 4th, as one does. And then I started watching. I was like, huh, I wonder what's going on the East Coast with 4th of July celebrations.
Yeah.
So I think it was NBC had a channel. So it is America's 250, right?
Correct.
There's also Freedom 250, which Trump kind of did his own thing.
Yeah.
But America 250 was already set up. So in New York City, through Congress and everything, they had this air show that had everything, even other nations, right? I was just watching it on TV getting fired up. So, like, the British, I don't know what they call, like, their Blue Angels, but they were there. United Air Emirates, right? And, like, the British guys were flying, like, USA red, white, and blue colors. Like, it was just, it was really cool. I was enthralled.
They're probably, like, you know, the Union Jack is also red, white, and blue.
Throwing out fish and chips out of the top of them.
You're probably right. It's just, and I guess they had planned. It was just really cool. There was 8 or 9 demonstration teams for other countries that had shown up and were like, yeah, we'll do some demonstrations over the New York Harbor and everything.
That's cool, man.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know. It was a really nice way to spend the afternoon, and I was super impressed. I was like, man, I just love an air show. And I get it. It's a recruiting tool, this or that. It looked so damn cool.
But it's a great recruiting tool because it looks awesome, right?
Yeah.
You don't try to recruit with the truth of something like how horrible boot camp. Like, of course you show the coolest thing you've got.
Did anybody see those two Chinooks tailing the Victoria Clippers through the Sound on Friday?
No.
I don't know what kind of trading crap they were doing. That was badass, too. I was like, wow, this is cool.
Well, so I was tailgating, and then I watched the USA-Belgium game from, like, a rooftop across the way.
Yeah.
And people were like, there's not going to be a flyover today. And I was like, trust me, there's going to be a flyover. And they were like, I don't know, local news says they're not. But as we're tailgating, I look out over the Sound, and there's a couple jets. Like, well, those jets aren't randomly just up here.
Right.
Like, they clearly are in our airspace. So there obviously was a flyover. And this and that. But yeah, some of the stuff on the 4th, I just thought looked awesome. It was cool to see and good for, I don't know, thanks to all those other countries for sending their stuff over. And shout out to the Air Force. We always see the Navy jets and everything.
Yeah.
The Air Force really did a nice job on that air show, showing all their crazy planes and how they do stuff. I don't know if they get enough credit. So there you go, Air Force guys. Good job.
This one's for you.
Speaking of recruiting tools and stuff you want to see, All-Star Game on tomorrow. But tonight you got the Home Run Derby. It's underway right now over on Netflix.
Thank you, Ted. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Tourist in Montana learns he is able to fly like buffalo, 8 feet in the air. Meanwhile, it sucks to get your golf club stolen, especially from a bear. Sisters find a picture of their family after checking into an Airbnb. A man pulls out a sex toy on live TV. And today's rescued animal is a fox with its head stuck in a plastic bottle. It's time for your headline.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, top 7, we're going to San Diego, where the local accommodations can get a little creepy. A family was recently in the area on vacation and, like many others before them, found themselves renting an Airbnb for lodging accommodations. After walking inside, they were just about ready to get the fun started until they noticed something a little disturbing, a giant picture that looked a little too familiar, as it was a photo featuring their family. Now, it was an old photo that featured their family enjoying a day at the beach about a decade earlier, but they say that they could unmistakably identify their family members, what they were wearing back in that day, everything. All of them in the water and on the beach. Now, it should be noted that this was a relatively large photograph that was hanging on the wall that featured several families enjoying a day out at the beach, but it skeeved the sisters out enough that they called Airbnb and were able to work out alternate accommodations for their stay.
So they just freaked out. Like, correct. Yeah.
And, you know, reading the headline and reading the few little blurbs that they give you before you really get into the meat of the story, I was like, yeah, that's kind of creepy to have, one, just have somebody's random picture of a family just up on a wall that's not yours.
Yeah.
And then to find out that it's yours is serendipitous in its own way.
That's terrifying.
But then yeah. They're standing next to it. It looks like it's a flyover. It looks like somebody's got to, you know, flying a helicopter over the beach or something like okay. that. There's a whole bunch of families that are down there. And it's like, okay, yeah.
You're one of them.
Right.
It's not a picture of your family.
Right. This isn't a family photo, or this isn't, you know, a candid that your mom took.
See, this is the thing. I saw the headline. That's what I thought. And I'm like, whoa.
Right. No, when you look at it, it's like, okay, are you that freaked out?
Right.
You know. Then it turned into this safety issue of, like, are they watching us kind of a thing.
For 10 years, yes.
That's no kidding.
They're like, watching us.
Okay, can we calm down a little bit? Turn this into a funny of, like, hey, we found ourselves. This is freaking cool.
It's cool.
Right. Yeah. No. We're creeped out. We need to find new accommodations because they might be serial killers. Come on. Let's ease
But also they might be serial killers.
But also they might be serial killers.
Can't rule it out.
Yeah. It was a neat picture. I mean, it was a good little flyover picture. People having fun on the beach. Oh, well. Wild story out of BC, Canada, as the locals appear to have an issue with local golfers. A video is going viral online that features a couple out on the golf course with one of their bags being stolen by a rogue black bear. The animal had ripped the clubs off of the cart that was in the process, hauling it into the woods when the video was taken. Commentary of the incident could be heard that features the owner solemnly claiming that those are his clubs, with another demanding that the bear bring them back. It is not clear whether or not they got the clubs back. But apparently there was another bear waiting in the woods, and they were going to F up these clubs.
No. Okay. Or maybe they're going to play nine later.
Do you think they had, like, a sandwich in there? Like, are they doing your thing, Miles, where they got Uncrustables in there? Like, I don't see
probably,
any reason.
You know, probably.
Right?
I mean, like, that's why the crows follow you around.
Yeah, fair enough.
I feel like golf bags, there's always, like,
a flask.
A jerky.
Flask or, like, jerky or, like, a granola bar or something, apple, right? Yep.
It's just, that's a lot of trouble for a bear.
Miles, would you try to get yours back from that bear?
No, I'm calling that a day.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Well, it's
yeah,
not like, no. I mean, golf clubs aren't cheap.
No, but not. Also, it's a bear.
I mean, yeah. I've hit a golf ball 2 feet from an alligator.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm not messing with a bear.
I wouldn't go for a golf ball, but a whole bag. Like,
my buddy recently had his clubs stolen right out of his garage, and he said $5,500 worth of clubs just gone.
Especially if you play a lot, because you just...
Right.
Like, a lot of people, I always tell them, I get, like, an old coach told me once, he's like, well, you guys aren't that good, so don't spend a bunch of money on equipment so your swing's good. But people that are good spend a lot of money because you kind of have to.
Doggone, yeah. My
coyote. I had a ball, I don't know, 5 feet from a coyote when Taiyi was still a golf course down at the airport. That was a wolf. You know, when you see, like, a coyote, it's just a little
yeah,
guy. Little this guy. Thing, when I walked up to you, I was like, oh, my God, you're huge. Wow, what do you eat, dude? I mean, this thing was so big.
He was just hanging out there?
I was wondering if it was, like, a neighborhood dog for a second.
Jeez.
I was like, no, it's too mangy.
Too mangy. Oh, no. We go to New Zealand, where an interview took an uncomfortable turn. I thought this was going to be your toast, Steve. That's why I asked.
I saw it, but I've toasted that in the last 2 weeks.
Oh, very good.
Not him, but the subject matter.
Right. A local morning show was interviewing a farmer and organizer of the Hunting Club's annual feral cat competition, which was already off to a great start when the man admitted to battling a hangover at the time of the interview, brandishing a fresh beer that he was enjoying at the time. He is on morning television having an interview.
Cracking a beer?
Cracking a beer. Oh, right, fine hangover. It. Little hair of the dog. What's more is the host noticed something furry coming out of the man's pocket and addressed it. To which he regarded it as a makeshift microphone that was made out of a fake cat's tail. Upon further inspection, it was clear that it was no microphone, but a toy that some used to imitate the presence of a cat's tail, meant to attach at the rear.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's straight
is
up
that attaching
plug.
The way I think it is?
Kind of like a pin the tail on the donkey situation?
This is pin the tail in the donkey. Now, he said it's a microphone, right?
Yeah.
Now, do we think he was just still kind of hammered and thought it was?
No.
Or do you think he's just...
You don't have that and think it's anything other
you
than
know
what it is.
That is a very good point.
Because he even held it up to where the shiny part was sticking out. And it's like, if you know what a microphone is, that does not look anything like a microphone.
That looks just like what it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah.
You nasty SOB.
I pull this out while I'm out there hunting all the cats.
Other than that, the interview went great. Just this guy pulled his plug out.
I like this guy, though. Still hungover. Here's a butt plug.
We're like, can we not? But just in case those stories have a bad taste in your mouth,
thankfully, there's good news.
We go to lovely Scotland for the latest animal rescue. Crews were alerted to a fox cub that was in need of assistance as it had been spotted with its head trapped in a plastic bottle. When they tried to approach the animal, it fled into its hole, but later emerged after crews had all but given up their attempts to help. They were able to remove the bottle safely and transport the animal to a small animal hospital in Glasgow, where it's undergoing treatment prior to his release back into the wild.
What kind of treatment do you think it needs?
Apparently, the bottle was on it so tight that it actually did cause damage. And if they were really concerned that if they didn't get this bottle off, it was going to get more permanent and it was going to kill this fox.
You think it has brain damage? Well, the other foxes notice if it does.
Right, because it was a...
I'm roaring now. Because it seems different.
It was a little baby fox, so yeah. It was going to grow into this doggone thing, and it was not going to be good.
The teeth just scare me.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Men's Room Sports, I don't know if you guys heard this, but the Seahawks have found their new owners.
I saw that.
An agreement has been reached that will put ownership of the team in the hands of, I'm going to screw his name up, Vinod Khosla. For the low price of $9.6 billion. And there was a question as far as a conflict of interest, if you didn't read this, because before, actually, at the time that the purchase was being agreed upon, he owned a minority stake in the San Francisco 49ers.
That is correct.
Which then he now has to relinquish in order, you know, don't worry, guys, the 49ers are not owning the Seahawks.
It's pretty common. Like, I think the guy from Cleveland and Pittsburgh did this at one point in time.
A lot of these guys want to own a football team, but there's no particular team they love or care about.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
my favorite comment, though, is it says that he went from a part owner of the 49ers to now full-time owner of the 49ers.
You try to get into
a minority,
then you can hopefully get the whole thing.
Exactly. As far as what you're going to watch tonight, there's some Summer League basketball over on ESPN and Amazon, as well as the
Summer
Home Run
League.
The
Home Run feel fine.
The Home Run Derby is currently underway over on Netflix. As far as your weather, prepare yourselves, kids. Predictions for tonight and tomorrow show clear skies and a low of 54 tonight. Tomorrow should be mainly sunny and a high of 82. That's it for headlines with that, Mike Hawkins.
All right, thanks, sir. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time as we sit and spin the lovely Jolene's coming up in just seconds.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.